James chapter number 1. Let's go ahead and stand together if you would, and we'll just read this passage of scripture to begin this morning. James chapter number 1, and we're going to read just the first four verses to begin. James chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. The Bible says here, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God says, and God uses James to write to the Christians, Hebrew Christians, and says, count it a joy, count it a privilege, count it a blessing. Rejoice in it. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various types of temptations, trials that may come into your life. Knowing this, understanding this, that the trials, those testings, those trials and so on, they are to work patience in your life. And not only that, but verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect works. So in other words, they're going to perfect you. They're going to have a perfecting work in your life, a sanctifying work in your life. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing, complete, mature, and so on. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, please bless now in this time as we study your word. I pray that you'd use it in our hearts. Speak to us, Father, give me clarity of thought, clarity of words, Lord, and help us all to be able to focus and listen, focus on your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd speak through me to each one here, that you'd help each one to be sensitive and listening to your voice and listening to you as you try to speak to them. Help us today, strengthen us, perfect us, sanctify us. Lord, please, through your word, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. I want you to see something, and we're going to talk this morning about dynamic faith, but I want you to see three other kinds of faith, just briefly in introduction. Turn over to James chapter 2, and we're going to focus on dynamic faith. But I want you to see three other kinds of faith that we certainly do not want to have. Look at it, James chapter 2. And in verses 15 to 17, James 2, 15 to 17, we see dead faith. We see dead faith. The Bible says there, James 2, 15 to 17, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It talks about how could you as a Christian, how could you as a child of God, you know someone around you has a need, you see that need, and you tell them, well, just go and be warm and be filled. And you as a Christian, you as a child of God, had a capacity and an ability to help meet that need, and you do nothing about it. Describes that as being just a dead faith. That's not a faith that's real. That's not a faith that's genuine. We say we believe in God, and we say we love God, and we understand the love of God and know the love and grace that he has for us. But yet for us not to help the person that we can look at them and see them and know their need, the Bible describes that as dead faith. That's not the kind of faith I want to have. I want a dynamic faith. That is dead faith. Look at another kind here, and we'll call this demonic faith. Demonic faith. Look at verse number 19, James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now even the devils believe in a God. Even the devils understand that there's a God. But the devils are not following God. The devil himself, Lucifer, Satan, he is not following God. The demons that were cast out of heaven, they are not following God. They believe, but yet they're not following him. We'll call that demonic faith. Demonic faith. The demons, the devils, the evil spirits, they believe in God, but they're not following God. If that's what we're like, then again, our faith isn't worth much. If, think about it this way in our own life. If we're living in rebellion or disobedience to God, just as the fallen angels were, just as the fallen angels are living in rebellion against God, then that's a demonic kind of faith. And that's not the kind of faith I want. Boy, I wouldn't want it to be that God knows that in my life, I'm rebelling against Him. I'm not following Him. I'm going totally against His will. That kind of more associates me with more of a demonic kind of faith. And that's certainly something I don't want. I don't want a dead faith. I don't want a demonic faith. I want a dynamic faith. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And look down at verses 10 to 16. James 3, 10 to 16. We'll call this a devilish faith. A devilish faith. It says, beginning in verse 10, James 3, 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. All of James chapter 3 really is emphasizing how we use our tongue, how we speak, and so on. But he says, out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If we pretend to have faith and we talk all nice to some people and we sing songs about Jesus and we come sit in church and we bless the name of Jesus and we sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and there is a name I love to hear, and then we go out and we live in a way that's totally contrary to that. We come into church, or we get around certain people, or we get around the pastor, or we get around somebody that we want to make sure they think something good about us, and we try to act real loving, and we try to act real kind, and we try to act real sweet, but then we go out to our car, and we start cursing and swearing, or get a rock music player in, or we start criticizing somebody else, and, oh, did you see them today? Did you see so-and-so? And we start talking bad about someone. Or if we live with bitterness or envy or jealousy or those sort of things in our hearts, the Bible says really that's just earthly, sensual, devilish. That's not a real faith. That's not a godly faith. That's not a Christ-like faith. That's not the way we ought to live. That's a devilish faith. And that's not the kind of faith I want to have. And I don't think that's the kind of faith that any of you would want to have. I don't think you're in church this morning because you want to have a devilish faith or a demonic faith or a dead faith. I think probably sincerely you would like to have a dynamic faith. You'd like to have a real faith. But if we're honest with God, maybe there's some times where there's some areas in our lives where we need some work. Things that should not be in our life. And we need to make those things right with the Lord. I don't want a dead faith or a demonic faith or a devilish faith. I want a dynamic faith. I want the real stuff. I want a real faith. Now let me help you with this morning. How is a dynamic faith developed in our lives? How is a dynamic faith developed in our lives? Here's number one. A dynamic faith is developed through trials. A dynamic faith is developed through trials. Go back to chapter number one. And I want you to look with me again at our text verses 2, 3, and 4. James 1, 2, 3, and 4. A dynamic faith, first, is going to be developed through trials. Through trials. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Let me share with you a few thoughts about this. Sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a waiting process. God will place us into a waiting process. Sometimes trials, they teach us to wait. To wait on the Lord. They teach us to wait on God. They teach us to wait patiently. They teach us to wait and trust God. Wait and have a good attitude. The Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. God has to teach us patience. You know what? For a lot of people, patience doesn't come naturally. Patience doesn't come easily. For a lot of men, patience doesn't come easily. Most men tend to be more hot-tempered than they are patient. You know what? And God wants to teach us patience. God wants us to develop patience through trials. Every one of us, men, ladies alike. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Sometimes God places us into a waiting process. Notice James 1 and verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy." Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations. What do we need to do? We need to wait joyfully. Wait joyfully. Count it a joy. How can I do that, Pastor? Well, God says you count it a joy knowing that God is trying to do something in your life. Count it a joy knowing that God is trying to do that perfecting work in your life. Wait joyfully. Rejoice in that God, you know what? God never gives you something to handle that's going to be more than what he can't help you to handle. If God allows a trial to come in your life, it's because he thinks that you're big enough that with his help, you can make it. You can make it. And God may want to bring a trial to accomplish a special work in your life, to draw you closer to him, to teach you something. We can be joyful knowing that God is at work in our lives. Notice what the Bible says. If you want to keep a marker or something in the book of James. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And notice what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 9 and 10. He said there, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore," notice the next three words, "I take pleasure." Pleasure? Yeah, I count it a pleasure. I count it a joy. "I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know what? Sometimes the trials put us into a waiting process. How are we going to wait? Wait joyfully. Wait joyfully. Secondly, wait patiently. Wait patiently. Why should we wait patiently? Because you know something? God is at work in our life even during the trial. God is at work in your life even during the trial. In Romans 8:28, pretty well-known verse, isn't it? It says, "And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose." According to his purpose. You know, God always works things according to his purpose and according to his plan and according to his timing. And things won't always work out the way that we maybe have thought that they should work out. What are we going to have to do in the trials? When you're going through a trial in your life, wait patiently. Wait patiently. God is trying to work something for good in your life. It may not be what you think, but it may be what God thinks that you need in your life. The Spirit of God lives in us and he knows us better than anyone does. Of course, he helped to make us. And he lives in us. And he's the one that knows what we need. And when we pray, he intercedes for us. And God many times gives us in our life those things that can be used to bring about God's best in our life. To help conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. What do we need to do? We need to wait joyfully.
and we need to wait patiently. Wait joyfully and wait patiently. I said sometimes in the development of our faith, God puts us through a waiting process. A waiting process. A second thought with that. Sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a refining process. A refining process. God has not promised to make us comfortable. God has not promised to make us comfortable. He has promised to make us conformable. Conformable. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be transformed, to become like Jesus Christ. And so that we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing in our life, wanting nothing in our life, sometimes God uses trials to conform us. To conform us. I said that sometimes God, in developing our faith, will place us into a waiting process. And how should we wait? We should wait joyfully and we should wait patiently. Sometimes God will, in developing our faith, will place us into a refining process. I want you to notice a couple things maybe that God is trying to develop us when He puts us through that refining fire. You know, gold and silver are tried and purified in a refining fire, in a refining furnace, through intense heat. They're refined. I want you to notice a couple thoughts though with this. God is developing. What's He trying to conform in us? What's He trying to develop in us? God is developing beauty and strength in us. God is developing, listen, beauty and strength in us. Eric, turn off the bottom red button that slid up. God is trying to develop beauty and strength in us. Notice again James chapter 1 and verse number 3. Look at it with me. James chapter 1 and verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is developing beauty and strength in us. How does God develop beauty? The Bible talks there in verse 3 about worketh patience. Worketh patience. It speaks of remaining under pressure. You know, it takes an incredible amount of pressure to make diamonds. An incredible amount of pressure to make something as beautiful as diamonds. You know what the trials do in our life? They put pressure. They put pressure into our life. Why? Is God trying to crush us and destroy us? No, He's trying to make something beautiful. He's trying to make something beautiful out of our lives. Trials that we go through, they put pressure in our life so that God can make a beautiful diamond out of our life. So that we can be conformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. When God puts you through a trial, it's not because He wants to, ha ha ha, look what I did to them. No. God may allow you to go through a trial because He's wanting to bring you closer to Him. He's wanting to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. He's wanting to develop patience in your life. He's wanting to develop holiness in your life. He's wanting to develop purity in your life. He's wanting to maybe help you to have a closer walk with God in your life. Develop a relationship with Him. He wants to make your life beautiful. He's trying to develop beauty and strength in your life. Diamonds are beautiful. Diamonds are strong. You know, that's the kind of thing that God is trying to do when trials come and they put pressure into your life. Not only is He developing beauty, but He's also developing strength. He's developing strength. A weightlifter builds up gradually. A weightlifter will lift weight, and then at times they lift heavier weight than what they maybe can handle easily. But they will press themselves and they'll bench press extreme amounts of weights and maybe more than what they could do many reps of. But they'll bench press extreme weight, heavy weight. They'll bear that burden. Why? Because they want to break down those muscles so that they can become even stronger. You know, there's a tearing of muscles that takes place and it allows them to develop even bigger muscles and stronger muscles. And sometimes the trials in your life, it's again because God wants to develop strength in your life. And sometimes just like that tearing of the muscle, it's because God is trying to develop you stronger, make you a stronger Christian. What if your walk with God has not been what it ought to be? God knows that needs to be corrected. God knows that needs to be better. And God can make you a stronger Christian by bringing trials into your life and into my life. Because they drive us closer to Him. They help to make us
stronger. We're either just going through life or we're growing through life. And listen, God wants you to be growing. Don't just go through trials, grow through the trials. When you face a difficulty, when you face a hardship, grow through that hardship. And let God make you stronger. Listen, sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a refining process. Because God's trying to develop beauty and strengthen us. Not only that, but He's developing purity and maturity in us. God is developing purity and maturity in us. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Trials refine us. Trials purify us. You know what? The refining process often purifies our hearts. It purifies our lives. It purifies our motives. It makes sure that, you know, what I'm doing, I'm really doing for Him. That kind of where I'm at in my heart and where I'm at in my life and some of the things that really just me and God know, that it's being purified. You know, it can be easy for a Christian to go through the motions and put on an act and look like a Christian, act like a Christian and so on. But God knows that in the heart things aren't right. And God may bring trials into our life because He wants to purify our hearts and He wants to purify our desires. He wants to purify our motives. It'll make us more like Christ and it'll help us to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Notice another simple wording that it says there. It says, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. But let. Let means that you're allowing it. You're letting patience have its work. You're letting the trials accomplish God's work in your life. You're letting patience have its perfecting work in your life. We need to surrender our will to the Lord. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The writer writes and says, I've been laboring for you in prayer. Why? Because I want you to stand perfect before God. I want you to stand complete before God. I want you to stand before God as a perfect, as a mature and upright, as a complete Christian. I want you to be someone who's doing the will of God from your heart, who is mature and developed in your life. And I think that's what God's trying to accomplish and say to us back here in James. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, God may bring trials in your life, allow trials, because He's trying to develop something in your life. He's trying to develop beauty. He's trying to develop strength. He's trying to develop purity. He's trying to develop maturity in your life, that you'll grow and become a mature and complete Christian and do the will of God in your life. How is a dynamic faith developed in our lives? Number one, a dynamic faith is developed through trials. A dynamic faith is developed through trials. Notice the second thing here this morning. A dynamic faith is developed through the Word of God. A dynamic faith is developed through the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look with me down at verse number 19, if you would, James 1 and verse 19. And listen to this statement, this question, really. Are you willing to hear God's Word? Are you willing to listen to God's Word? If a dynamic faith is going to be developed in your life through the Word of God, are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to listen to God's Word? Notice what it says in James 1 and verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let every man be swift to what? Hear. Swift to hear and slow to speak. Did you come to church today with the anticipation that God would speak to your heart? Did you come today with a desire that God would speak to your heart? Did you come today asking and hoping, God, I want you to speak to my heart today. I don't want to just, you know, go to church and da-da-da and go home. I mean, God, I want you to speak to my heart. When we open up the Word of God, God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want you to teach me. God, I want you to help me today from your Word. Do we come with an anticipation? Do we come with an expectation? Do we come in faith wanting God to speak to us? Are we willing to hear it?
Will you hear the preaching? Will you listen for God's voice? Do you want God to speak to you? We're going to come back to James, but if you want to read with me Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32 to 35. Notice what these verses teach us about how we ought to hearken, how we ought to listen, how we ought to give heed and so on. Proverbs chapter 8 verses 32 to 35 says this, "Now therefore hearken unto me." Hearken means to pay attention. Hearken, pay attention, listen up. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Listen, we need to be willing to hear God's word. Hearken to it. Pay attention to it. Listen to it. Are you willing to hear God's word? Are you willing to listen to God's word? Notice back in James chapter 1, three things. If we're going to develop a dynamic faith through the word of God, we need to be willing to hear it. We need to be willing to listen to it. But secondly, I ask you this. Are you willing to receive God's word? You say, I'm hearing it. I'm sitting here. I came to church, didn't I? I'm listening. I sit here and have to listen to that garbage every week. I'm listening to it. Okay, are you receiving it? Are you receiving it? Notice what it says in James 1 and verse 21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." We must purify our hearts. Lay apart all filthiness, it says there. Purify our hearts. Boy, if you're going to have a heart to receive God's word, you know what we need to do? Get all the weeds out of our heart. Get all the sinful things out of our heart. Get all, as the Bible describes it, get all the filthiness and naughtiness out of our heart. Don't allow those things to stay there. Don't allow sinful things to stay in our heart. Don't allow naughty things to stay in our life. No, let's make sure we have a heart that can be receptive to the word of God, receptive to what God wants to do in our lives. Purify your heart. And not only that, but we must, secondly, open our hearts to receive it. If you're going to be willing to receive God's word, you must purify your hearts. Keep the sin out of the soil of your heart. Keep the weeds out of the garden, if you will. Pull the weeds out. Make sure that your heart is receptive so that you'll receive the seed of God's word more readily. And then secondly, open your heart to receive it. Open your heart to receive it. The Bible says to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive it by faith. Receive it with meekness. Are you willing to just go to God's word and say, "God, okay, by faith today, whatever your word teaches me, whatever your word tells me, God, by faith I'll obey it. By faith I'll do it. God, I want to receive it. God, I want to study your word. God, I want to know what it says for me. I want to know what you have for me. I want to know what your word teaches me I should do as a Christian, as a businessman, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, as a neighbor. I mean, what should I do and how should I live my life and how can I be the Christian you want me to be?" Are you willing to receive what it says? We must receive it by faith. We must receive it with meekness. With meekness. We must receive it without argument. By faith, we must accept what the Bible teaches. Receive the word of God into your heart and allow it to change your life for God's glory. Are you willing to receive it? In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Listen, when we are willing to receive the word of God with meekness, it can have an effective work. It can work something great in our life. It can change us to make us like Christ. It can change us to be better men and better ladies and better Christians and better husbands and better workers. It can change everything about us.
to make us what God wants us to be. It will work effectively in the heart and life of that person who will receive it, who will believe it. When we receive God's word, it will make a difference. Listen, dynamic faith is going to be developed in your life through the word of God. Are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to listen to it? Secondly, are you willing to receive God's word? And then thirdly, under that, are you willing to obey God's word? Turn with me back to James chapter 1, verse number 22. We'll look at James 1 and verses 22 to 25. Are you willing to obey God's word? It's not enough just to say, well, I hear it. I'm listening to it. Are you really listening to it? Are you really listening to it? When you read the Bible, do you read it with a desire, God, I want you to speak to me? When you come to church, are you distracted or are you listening? Are you paying close attention? Are you asking God to speak to you? Are you really listening to it? Are you willing to receive it and are you willing to obey it? Notice verse 22, and be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Something that shows your reflection. You know, to pick up a piece of glass in those days, or nowadays we could pick up a mirror. When you see the reflection of your life in the Word of God, how does it line up? How does it match up? When you look into the mirror of God's Word, listen, does it show you that maybe there's some things that need to be changed? Does it show you that there's some things that maybe need to be different? Some things that need to be adjusted? Are we willing to obey God's Word in our life? Verse 24 says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How sad that is. Somebody, they're being a hearer, but they're not being a doer. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's referring to the word of God, says, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen, will you be a doer of God's word? Real faith. A dynamic faith. When you're developing a dynamic faith in your life, it's going to be willing to hear the Word of God and listen to the Word of God and receive the Word of God and obey the Word of God in your life. We're not to live just as we want to live. We're to live as God's Word instructs us to live. I'm a Christian. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-O-Y. I am a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you following God's word in your life? Will you be a doer of God's word? Real faith is willing to obey God and do what the Bible teaches and to follow the commands of Christ. How is a dynamic faith? Now, do you want that dead faith or that demonic faith or that devilish faith? No, not me. I don't want that kind of faith. I want a real faith. I want a dynamic faith in my life. A dynamic faith. If you really want it, it's going to be developed in your life, sometimes through trials. A dynamic faith is going to be developed through trials. Sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a waiting process. God will try to teach us patience. And we'll have to learn to wait joyfully, and we'll have to learn to wait patiently. Sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a refining process where God's trying to develop beauty in your life and God's trying to develop strength in your life or God's trying to develop purity or maturity in your Christian life. Sometimes trials are what God uses to help develop faith, dynamic faith in our lives. How is that dynamic faith developed in our lives? Number two, a dynamic faith is developed through the Word of God. Are you willing to hear God's word? Are you willing to listen to God's word? Are you willing to receive God's word? And are you willing to obey God's word? How is a dynamic faith developed in our lives? Number three, a dynamic faith is developed through our works. A dynamic faith is developed through our works. How will your faith be a very dynamic faith? Letter A faith that works is responsible. A faith that works is responsible. Notice what the Bible says over in James chapter 2. And notice verses 14 to 17. James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. A dynamic faith. I mean a real faith, an exciting faith, a faith that's vibrant, a faith that's alive, a faith that people can see.
A dynamic faith is going to be developed through our works. A faith that works is responsible. Responsible. Look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know what? Dead faith sees the need and does nothing about it. It avoids the responsibility. If you're dead, if your faith is dead, you see an opportunity, you see the need, and you do nothing about it. You know what a real faith is going to do, a dynamic faith is going to do? Take responsibility. A dynamic faith will see the need and will initiate some response. Initiate some action to help. Initiate some action to care. Initiate some action to try to show God's love and do something to help that one that is in need. You know, the Bible teaches us about pure religion and undefiled is this, to help the fatherless and the widow and so on. Listen, dynamic faith takes responsibility. A faith that works is responsible. Second thought along with that is this, a faith that works is recognizable. Is recognizable. Notice James chapter 2 and keep reading from verse 18 down through verse 25. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works and I will show thee my faith by my works. The way that I am going to show you my faith is by my works. It's not my faith that works that saves me, but that's how I will be able to demonstrate my faith to you. It says in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by the works of a man, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. A faith that works is going to be recognizable to others. Now God sees your faith. God knows your heart. And if you are sincere and genuine in your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe God saves you. Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But let me tell you something. The world doesn't see your faith except by your works. And our faith ought to be recognizable to the world. Our faith ought to be recognizable to our neighbors. Our faith ought to be recognizable to our relatives. They ought to know there's something different about them. They've got a real faith. What they have is different than what a lot of people have. There's something real about it. That's a dynamic faith. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we want. A faith that works. A faith that is recognizable. The Bible gives Abraham as an example. Genesis 22 says this in verses 9 and 10. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. God had asked Abraham to take his son to Mount Moriah and to make a sacrifice there. And Abraham demonstrated his faith. He showed his faith. His faith was recognizable by his actions. And of course, God spared his son and God provided a ram in the thicket as a substitute and so on. It's a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ does for us as our lamb sacrifice. But listen, Abraham's faith was recognizable. Rahab's faith was recognizable. Others ought to be able to see your faith by your works and by your actions. Can I ask you this morning? Do your neighbors, are they seeing your faith? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Would you have any neighbor whatsoever that would have any confidence in you and your faith? That maybe sometime when they have a trouble in their life, they would come to you and ask you, hey Brian, hey George, hey Paul, hey Tom, hey Susie, hey Mary, hey whatever. Would you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time. Would there be neighbors that see a difference in your life? Would there be neighbors that see that your faith is real? Because of your works, because of your actions, because of how you treat them, how they see you treat your family. Because of the spirit that you have. Listen, do you have a dynamic faith? Your neighbors, your co-workers, your friends at school, your relatives, do they see that your faith is real? Do they see that your faith is real? Do they see a dynamic faith in your life? If not, why don't they? Why can't they? We're not to hide our light under a bushel, right? We're to put our light on a candlestick that people can see it, that the world can see it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People ought to be able to see. People ought to be able to recognize that your faith is real. A faith that works is responsible. A faith that works is recognizable. Your faith is going to be developed. A dynamic faith is going to be developed in your life through trials. God may teach you to wait. You're going to have to learn to wait joyfully and wait patiently. God may put you through a refining process, and it's because He wants to develop beauty and strength and maturity and purity in your life. God may develop faith, develop dynamic faith in your life through the Word of God. Are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to obey it? And then third, God will develop dynamic faith in your life through your works. Are your works responsible? Are your works recognizable to others? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please challenge us, Lord. There may be areas of our life where we would just know that things are not what they ought to be, and we need to be different. God, I pray that You'd purify our hearts and our lives and our motives. I pray that You'd have free course in our life to conform us to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Conform us, God, to be like Your Son. Help us to, with a readiness and an eagerness, receive Your Word and obey it. And Lord, help our works and our actions from day to day really demonstrate a dynamic faith, a real faith. Help others to be able to see that our faith is real.